We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportion. We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
It will fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air, which will never surrender.
My prepper brothers and sisters, you arrived at the bunker. Grab a cup of joe, a stout tea, or maybe your favorite adult beverage. This is the prepper's place for open discussion on whatever the hell we want, brought to you whatever the hell way we want. This is the new format of the OGTX Bunker, a prepper survivalist show. So sit down, kick back, post up, relax, and welcome to the bunker.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Military-industrial complex.
And we as a people will get to the promised land.
We will make America strong again, proud again, safe again. We will make America great again.
Hello, coffee, my old friend. I've come to order you again. I hear the grinding of espresso beans. I need a double shot of pure caffeine. And the indie band on the speaker soothes my brain. So I'll remain within the sounds of Starbucks. Tried to brew my own at home, but felt so quiet and alone. I need to be amid the morning rush, where the leather chairs are soft and plush. And I'll drink a grande cappuccino with a pumpkin scone and charge my phone. Listen to the sounds of Starbucks. Then I heard an awful scream. They had totes run out of cream. A new employee spilled the coffee grounds, and the Wi-Fi went completely down. And a lady in yoga pants threw her latte. The cops were called. Then came the sound of sirens. In the drive-thru lane I saw 1,000 hipsters, maybe more. People paying without drinking. People waiting, they were all freaking. People going on, 'cause they couldn't get a caramel frap. Holy crap. A riot started at Starbucks while a Bible study prayed. Baristas formed a barricade. The manager cried out a warning to the angry mob that was forming. And he said, I checked Google Maps, there's another one across the street. So we stampede and return to the sounds of Starbucks.
Thank you.
This is the OGTX Prep and Survivalist Show, and I'm your host, Camel Keith. If you have any questions or comments on show topics, past or future, contact us through Messenger on our Facebook page at Off Grid Texas, or email us at shtf@offgridtx.com. My prepper brothers and sisters, guys, again, thank you for being such awesome listeners and subscribers of the OGTX Prepper Survivalist Show. It means a lot to us that we get to spend this time with you. We're always here for you, so reach out to us anytime. We're going to start tonight with a listener-submitted question. This question came to us from our Facebook page from Nicholas in Japan. He writes, "Hi, just started listening to the podcast and I am really enjoying it. I live in Japan and I was wondering if you have any advice on self-protection in countries where firearms are not easily accessible to the public. Also, with Japan having lots of typhoons, landslides, and earthquakes, I would be focusing my preps for a more natural disaster SHTF. Do you have any advice where to start? Sorry for the vague questions. I have always been thinking about stocking up, but never actually got around to doing anything about it until I heard your guys' podcast. Thanks." Nicholas, man, thank you for listening to the show and for the kind words. We're here to educate, entertain, and have fun. It feels great to know that we helped you get started. Well, let's start with the self-protection part of Nick's question. When it comes to gun laws, Japan is a country with regulations upon laws and more regulations, with a healthy sprinkle of mandates and a big fat cherry on top in the form of more regulations. That is to say that in Japan, it's a difficult process to obtain and keep firearms if you're a citizen, or law enforcement for that matter. Not impossible though, just difficult and time-consuming. Here's the thing. If I was a Japanese citizen, I would take whatever steps are necessary to legally own firearms. Now that's probably because I'm thinking like an American. And American culture is much different than Japanese culture. The Japanese culture is rooted in pacifism and kindness. And most Japanese citizens have a higher respect for authority than most other countries. Here in the US, it might as well still be the Wild West. And I'm perfectly okay with that. And the bad elements of the world better not mess with Japan, because Japan is one of America's closest friends and ally. So for me, I would apply for the firearm license, take the mental health and background tests. I would pass the accuracy tests. After receiving the firearm license, I would buy my first shotgun. Then I would apply for a small arms license, and after receiving it, purchase a handgun. And finally, apply for the handgun concealed carry permit. I would do all these things and whatever else is necessary because I believe that is every person's right to defend themselves, and a firearm is the best weapon of choice to achieve that. Now, if you live in Japan or any country that prohibits firearms, or it's difficult to get firearms, you still need a way to protect yourself. So before choosing a method of self-protection, you must determine who or what you will need protection from. Then research the federal and local laws in your area for legal self-defense methods and tools. You got pepper sprays. Now, I like bear sprays because they're much more powerful. You got batons and tasers. Okay, these are all legal to own and carry in most parts of Japan. I would get all of the above and train to use them. Train your family and loved ones to use them as well. I would also pick up a crossbow and a compound bow to keep at home. Whether or not I was able to own a firearm, I would get these two weapons as well. Now, these two forms of weapons are completely legal in Japan. And remember to check your local laws for any possible restrictions. Try to remember that weapons used for everyday carry and self-defense may be different from weapons used in an SHTF situation. In an NRL, no rule of law situation, you may be dealing with marauders, looters, rioters, rapists, and killers, all of which will not scare off easily. Pepper sprays and batons may not work. Also, remember that the best way to win a fight is to not get into the fight to begin with. Study and practice gray man theory. In an SHTF NRL situation, being the gray man may keep you out of the fight. Being the gray man may save your life. Nicholas also asked about natural disasters like earthquakes, typhoons, and landslides. Great question, Nick. Weather disasters like typhoons and landslides are particularly nasty. Okay, typhoons, also known as hurricanes here in the US, give us plenty of time to prepare for, but in most cases, we don't. At least, not enough. Many times, we get the warning of a pending hurricane, but then it weakens and just dumps a bunch of rain on us. So we've been conditioned to take the let's see where it goes approach. Okay? And this is bad. Okay, this is not prepping. Not at all. Now, we don't live in a hurricane typhoon zone. Okay, we had one that hit Texas last week in the Gulf. But by the time it made its way up to us here in North Texas, it was just windy, hot, and humid. It was nasty. Now, I have spent a large portion of my life in hurricane zones, and I have survived several of them. But if I was still living in one of these areas prone to supercyclones, I would have a separate set of preps just for that. Think waterproof when it comes to natural weather disasters. Think about warmth, about shelter, about protection from the elements. Keep in mind that supercyclones often produce tornadoes, which can be incredibly devastating to property as well the mind, body, and soul. Your natural weather disaster prep should consist of four categories. Number one, and these are not in order, structural protection. Now, pre-cut plywood for doors and windows. Okay, any doors and windows that you might think are going to be a problem, pre-cut some plywood to fit inside those doors and windows to protect them, to protect you. Okay, get some ropes, paracord, and bungees. Those are always good. Get sandbags if flooding is a possibility. Be aware of large trees that may get blown down. Okay, trim the dead branches that could become projectiles. We always forget to do that. If you have above ground power lines, know where they are in case they come down. Number two, protect people and pets. Remember the rules of three. 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, 3 months without food. Set up preps for each person in your household to last at least a minimum 3 days. I like 5 days. 3 days should do it for a natural disaster. Now, these preps are aside from your regular SHTF preps. Okay, you need to keep these in bins by themselves marked for natural disasters. If the power and or water goes out, don't depend on emergency service to bring you the supplies that you need. You need to stay dry. You need to stay warm. You need to stay hydrated and fed. That includes your pets. And if fires break out and there's smoke or other airborne irritants blown around, you'll need masks and respirators. Chemogs make great masks, among other things. Way better than bandanas. Small wood-burning or gas stoves for heating water and cooking food off-grid. You need one of these, or both of these. Lots of wool blankets for shelter for your body. Water collection, water purification tablets, and water filtration. We need to drink clean water. You may not be able to get clean water. If you take medication, stock up on those as well. And don't forget about first aid. Need a first aid kit. Number three, long-term power and water outages. Now, one thing that hits the hardest during a natural disaster is when the power goes out and water services can be shut down as well. You need to plan in advance for this taking place. This is the very meaning of going off-grid. Most people are not ready for going off-grid. This is the worst-case scenario. Portable gas and solar generators will be your saving grace. Every prepper must invest in a portable power generator. And these days, they just keep getting cheaper and cheaper, so there's no excuse. Start saving. Now, I prefer solar over gas, but either way, if you have one of these generators, it will feel like the hand of God has lifted you up from the depths of despair the second that you turn that thing on. Like it or not, we live in a time when people need electricity. It's that simple. Get a portable power generator and sleep easy knowing that you are prepped and ready for a natural disaster. Also, grab a few emergency radios with NOAA radio band frequencies, preferably hand-cranked, solar, and rechargeable, all three. Okay, they will come in handy. Don't forget flashlights, batteries, and candles. Now, number four, escape routes and plans. Folks, I've said it before. I know I'll say it again and again. Have a solid plan to bug out. Know each of the several routes that you will choose to take when bugging out. List the pros and cons of each route and write it down in your emergency binder. Don't be guessing when it's time to hit the road. Know in advance where you're going, how you'll get there, and how long it will take to do so. Repeat after me. Maps are my friend. Grab a piece of paper and write it down 100 times if you need to. Maps are my friend. So, Nicholas, thank you so much for reaching out to us with these great questions. I hope I've answered them for you. I know I didn't talk about earthquakes, but I imagine the preps are pretty much the same. Landslides, however, I'm not sure I can imagine anything scarier than a large-scale landslide. I'll say this, though. If you're living at the bottom of a mountain, that's just itching to slide down and devour your whole existence, maybe you should consider moving. Japan's got some pretty scary natural disasters to contend with. Typhoons, landslides, earthquakes, floods, and tsunamis. It's amazing to me how some of the most beautiful places in the world can also be the deadliest.
Hottest day of the year, and we're staying cool in style.
Yeah, I mean, all in all to you, Mitt.
Nothing's too good for my two best pals.
Oh! What are you jikes doing in my pool? Sick 'em!
My Prepper brothers and sisters, thank you for sticking with us through the mid-show break. Tonight, we want to talk a little about how to stay safe during the hot days of summer. I know, this is basic stuff. I get it, and you're right. It is. But maybe, just maybe, we can save a life or two by talking about it. So, you wake up one summer morning, start of a brand new day. This morning, you'll be running around town doing errands. It's a hot day, very hot day. For some, hot is in the high 80s. For others, it's in the 90s. For me and most of the Southwest U.S., the day will reach 106 at its highest. For those of you using the centigrade scale, we're talking temps between 30 and 40 degrees Celsius. A very hot day. And by the way, I hear so many people say about Texas, well, it's a dry heat, right? No. Maybe in the West and Southwest Texas in the desert, but much of Texas is wooded with lots of lakes and creeks. Okay, so the humidity can get pretty high. Add that humidity to the high temps, and it can be downright deadly. So here you are having your coffee or eating breakfast, getting showered and ready to go run your errands. You're most likely not even thinking of the heat outside, because you're inside. Most Americans have air conditioning, and I'm only assuming that most of the rest of the modern world does too. But then you step outside, and it hits you. That first breath of hot air, and you say to yourself, damn, it's going to be a hot one today. But you get into your car, turn it on, and switch on the AC. And in a few minutes, you've forgotten all about the heat, like magic. The cool air blowing on your face and the beautiful sunny day outside combine to create a blissful ride to the shops. So you pull in, park, step back out into the heat, and whammo! It hits you again. Holy crap! It's really freaking hot out here. 3 steps later, you're already beginning to sweat. You scurry into the store, and that amazing dry, ice-cold air inside the store surrounds you like an early winter breeze blowing in from the north. You take a deep breath, and your mind's attention instantly changes over to your grocery list. The inferno of hell that is the outside world is now a distant bad memory. Out of sight, out of mind. By the time you get finished shopping, you're all checked out. Your body is cold, bordering on frozen. The thought of a blanket and a hot cup of coffee or tea would feel pretty good right about now. Then you walk outside the store, and bam, hell has come to earth. Most of us say something like, it feels like I just stepped into an oven, right? You ever say that? Think that? You run back to your car, get the AC pumping, and start the whole process over again. But it's okay. It's fine. It's summer. Okay? It is what it is. We go from one air-conditioned space to the next like stepping stones across a river of hot molten lava. Some of you listening right now may not get to experience the type of heat that I'm describing, but it's all relative. Einstein will tell you that. Much of the U.S. only reaches into the 80s in peak summer months, only occasionally climbing into the 90s. And that's hot. That's really hot for those folks. In European countries, especially in the north like Belgium and Denmark and the U.K., they rarely get higher than the 70s. And it's considered a heat wave if they get into the 80s. From my research, I have found that for folks in these areas, high 80s is considered hot and uncomfortable. For us in Texas and the southern states, as well as parts of, let's say, Australia, Japan, Spain, Portugal, Greece, we may consider temps in the 80s to be a perfectly warm day,
Heck, when it's 106 outside, 80s might as well be air conditioning. The point being is hot. For all people in all parts of the world, hot is relative to what they are accustomed to. So why talk about hot? Why talk about how hot outdoor temperatures can affect us as preppers? Well, let's go back to our shopping scenario. There we were, going from our air-conditioned car through the heat and into the next air-conditioned space, and so on and so forth. In this common summer activity scenario, we have these short, uncomfortable moments in the extreme heat with longer periods of activity in cool spaces. Our bodies aren't under heat stress. We are not suffering. We're keeping ourselves safe from overheating by performing most of our activities in a controlled, man-made, artificial cold environment, which is only made possible through the use of electricity. Most of humanity is completely dependent on man-made electricity. We at Off-Grid Texas just became official dealers of BioLite products, an amazing company that makes solar products, and we'll be showcasing these new products at our re-grand opening of the Off-Grid Texas website on September 1st, so stay tuned, folks. It's going to be great. But besides giving you that shameless plug, the reason I mentioned this is because BioLite does a lot of humanitarian work in underdeveloped regions of the world where people are struggling to live without electricity. And I've got to tell you, these people's lives are completely changed when you supply them with electrical power. You're going to get to see some of those videos at our September 1st re-grand opening. Okay, you've got to see this. They'll bring tears to your eyes. Modern human beings depend on electricity, need electricity to stay cool during the heat of the summer. So, during a natural disaster event, which is a very realistic SHTF situation, we may lose electrical power to our homes and businesses. And these could become long-term outages. It happens all the time. Okay, you don't think so? The 1996 Washington and Idaho outage lasted 2 weeks. Also in 96, the Western U.S. and Mexico outage lasted 4 days. The 98 Auckland, New Zealand outage lasted for several weeks. Brazil, 99. This outage lasted for 3.5 months. In 2003, the U.S. and Canada experienced outages over 14 days. Moscow, 2005, 10 weeks. Victoria, Australia, 2007, 2.5 months. The Netherlands, 2012, 3 days. Okay, so you're thinking, well, these are decades-old events. Okay, we have better systems now, better equipment, right? Nope, we don't. Dallas, Texas, U.S., 2019, 2 days. Wisconsin, U.S., 2019, 1 week. Michigan, U.S., 2019, 6 days. New Jersey, U.S., 2019, 4 days. Parts of England and Wales, 2019, up to 10 days. 2018, the Sudan, 11 days. Vancouver Island, 2018, 7 days. Guys, long-term electrical power outages are a real thing. They are current, no pun intended, uncontrollable. They are deadly and scary and can happen without notice. Now think of that heat that we felt when going from our house to the car, from the car to the store. Now imagine that heat all day and all night, while you eat, sleep, work, or while you're just sitting in a chair waiting for someone to turn the power back on. Think about that heat during those situations. You will learn and know the meaning to the phrase, embrace the suck. Here's how to prepare for this event. Here's how you avoid the suck instead of embracing it. First, you need electricity to get and stay cool. Air conditioners and refrigerators use a lot of power. You'll need a generator. The Consumer Reports website states, buy the smallest generator that will meet your power needs. This way, you'll cut down on how much fuel you'll need to store to run it. Remember, gasoline is unstable. It goes bad. Diesel is better, propane and natural gas even better. Solar, in my opinion, is the best, because it's free. There are 4 types of gas generators to consider, each getting more expensive as you go. The lowest cost power generator will be a small portable generator. That's the class, that's the name. Now these can run and cost between $200 and $1,000. Okay, but these will not power an air conditioner or a refrigerator. They're awesome for running lighting, you know, TVs and laptops, charging electronics, that sort of thing. If you're not looking to run an AC or fridge, this is the Jenny you want. I have one and I use it all the time. It's great for all outdoor activities, from camping to hiking and hunting, fishing, and even road trips. I'm mentioning this type for a few reasons. One, It's the perfect prepper off-grid tool for power. Okay? It is. Number two, I don't want anyone to get confused about the small portable generator. It will not cool you off in the heat. Now, when choosing a Jenny, it can get confusing. A lot of people freak out about this. Okay, but all you need to remember is this. Simply add up the wattage of everything you want to power during an outage. Then apply those wattages to the level of the Jenny that you'll need. Now, keep in mind that some appliances like air conditioners and refrigerators draw more wattage momentarily when they're cycling on. This is called startup or peak power. You've got running power and startup power. Use the startup peak power when calculating what size Jenny you'll need. Your generator must be able to handle the highest startup power along with anything else you've got plugged into it. Now, if you want to run a standard refrigerator, which is about 300 watts, okay, the Energy Star ones, they're much less. They're about 150 to 200 watts. But your basic standard refrigerator runs at about 300 watts. You need a Jenny that can handle a startup peak wattage of about 1200 watts. A 300 watt refrigerator has a startup peak wattage of about 1200 watts. A window unit air conditioning, basic standard 10,000 BTUs in size, pretty much standard, okay? These run at 1200 watts with peak startup at 2200 watts. So you'll need a Jenny that can produce 2200 or more watts. It's that simple. So for preppers who are interested in running a refrigerator and a window unit air conditioner, not at the same time, of course, you'll need a minimum 2200 watt Jenny. Pretty simple, right? Okay, well, this type of generator is referred to as a medium-sized portable generator. That's what it's called. And these go for about $1,000 to $1,700. Okay, so next up, we have the large portable generators and the large inverter generators. Both run up to 7,500 watts, so pretty much everything in your home, including hardwired appliances, as long as you connect it to a breaker box using a transfer switch. The large portable generators are the best bang for the buck, starting at around $700. These are the extremely low and basic units, and they go up to about $2,800. So there's one out there for most prepper budgets. They can run off of gas, petrol, diesel, propane, and natural gas. So again, lots of choices. Now, the large inverter generators cannot run off natural gas or propane, and they start at around $1,400, but the only ones worth buying cost between $3,000 and $4,000, pretty high. So this would not be a good choice for me. For all you high roller preppers out there, you know who you are. Dollar bills just falling out of your pockets. Can buy whatever the hell you want, anytime you want. Ready to roll up on an SHGF situation, your $50,000 tactical armor bug out vehicle. You know, the one percenters of the prepper world. There's the home standby power generator. Now, these cost between $2,000 and $6,000 just for the unit. Now, these are permanently installed, usually next to the house. They kick on automatically during an outage to provide uninterrupted current. They can power everything in a typical home simultaneously up to their maximum output. They can be set up to run indefinitely on natural gas or can be fueled by propane. There's no need to connect cables, flip switches, or start the generator. When the main utility's power goes out, these Jennies instantly start up within seconds. Now, they have to be professionally installed directly into the house's breaker panel, and a transfer switch is required. The switch and the installation can cost more than the generator itself. So if you plan to go this route, you better get yourself a bigger prepper piggy bank. The whole setup will run about 10 grand. Throw in a rooftop solar power system complete with battery banks for another 5 grand, and you'll be 100% off-grid with no care in the world. Just make sure that no one knows about it, because if you're not home when the shit hits the fan, it'll be gone when you do get home. Listen, we're talking about manufacturing electricity to run fridges and AC units. Okay, man-made power, in the event that we lose power for more than a few hours. We haven't touched on the usual methods of cooling down, like staying in the shade or staying hydrated, wearing loose, light clothing. Now, I think y'all are sharp enough preppers to come up with the common sense tricks to staying cool in the heat. If you want, we can do a show all about how to stay hydrated, best products, that sort of thing, but not today. Today, I want all of us to think about how to obtain the best electrical power generator that stays within our prepper budget. If you're just starting out in prepping and you don't feel that you're there yet, that's fine. Write it down in your prepper to-do list. You don't have a prepper to-do list? What in the world is wrong with you? Are you too good for lists? Too cool for jotting down notes? Grab a notebook, spiral or otherwise. Top of the first page, write down, get a generator. Next page, plan your bug out. Next page, water filtration and water storage. Next page, gray man theory, and so on and so on. Start making lists. Modern day preppers are list makers. Go back to the page about generators when you're ready and begin your research. If you need help, look back through our podcast and listen to this one again to refresh your memory. It's that easy. It would be a good idea right now to start a prepper savings account. Every little bit helps. My prepper brothers and sisters, as far as surviving the heat of the summer, in a grid down situation, an electrical power generator is the best way to go. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to get started on this prep. For about the cost of a good rifle, you can be running your fridge and AC unit and be comfy while sipping an ice-cold beer while everyone else in the world is melting away. Stay prepped, stay happy. Thanks for listening, and good night. The OGTX team would like to thank all of you for being here with us tonight. Send your questions, comments, show ideas, and thoughts to shtf@offgridtx.com. We'd love to hear from you guys, good, bad, or indifferent. shtf@offgridtx.com. I am Camel Keith. This is the OGTX Prepper Survivalist Show, and we are Off Grid Texas. Prepping, surviving, living, thriving.